Blazers, and welcome back to Doctor Who Literature, the podcast taking you through the world of the Target novelizations in publication order. My name is Jason, and I'm your host on this journey, this very long journey. Today is Friday, the 1st of April, no fooling. My read-through of the Peter Cushing novelizations now reaches Escape to Danger, which was just released, and I got my copy in the mail here in Brooklyn across the pond earlier in the week. Perfect timing. A lot of you talk about Big Finish, and how much of your disposable income goes to them. Well, that's increasingly becoming the same for me and Obverse Books. Obverse has the license for the Peter Cushing adaptations, and like their Black Archive series, or their first Paradise Towers-themed short story anthology, Built High for Happiness, of course, I need to be careful, or my bookshelf is going to become a wholly owned subsidiary of Obverse Books. But this new book is really worth every penny. Let's get to it. So what else is there to say about Escape to Danger? After the smashing success of the first half dozen or so Peter Cushing movies, the character of Doctor Who seamlessly transitioned to radio. We've already talked, of course, about Journey into Time, a James Blish-style short story anthology, one short story from each radio episode of the first Peter Cushing series, published by Obverse Books a short while ago. And now we come to Escape to Danger itself. This is the Obverse short story anthology, adapting all six stories from Cushing's wildly popular second radio series. We have a new editor on this anthology. David Agnew, who edited the first collection, has evidently stepped away, and Robin Bland assumes editorial duties over this second collection. Here's the back cover blurb. Six more adventures for Doctor Who. An abandoned spaceship, a deadly mine, treacherous pirates, untrustworthy politicians, and the dreaded Daleks are just some of the terrors faced by Doctor Who and his family. Time and space are full of dangers for Doctor Who, written by Robert Holmes, Jerry Davis, Richard Carpenter, Malcolm Hulk, and Donald Cotton. Escape to Danger was Peter Cushing's second series on radio as Doctor Who. Prices: Mars, 900 credits, Voga, 85 gold bars, Pluto, 95 Talmars, plus tax, Ice World, 75 grotsets, recommended price, science fiction, TV tie-in. Before we get to the estimable Mr. Bland, let's talk about Michael Loggins and the foreword, which is called From Shepperton to Scarrow, Doctor Who on the Big Screen. The foreword does assume that you're already familiar with the series, and jumps right into the circumstances behind that second set of radio plays. This is the equivalent of the production notes text commentary on the Doctor Who Classic Series Blu-rays. This is master's degree level knowledge right here. It talks about how Robert Holmes script edited the series for radio. I don't think I was aware before I read the novelizations that Holmes had such a heavy hand in the second radio series, but it makes sense because some pretty dark things happen in these stories. Not things that you usually equate with the happy-go-lucky Peter Cushing Doctor, or, say, Bernard Cribbins' Tom Campbell, the male companion in the collection's first story, or Jim Dale's Jim, the male companion in the second story. The foreword goes on to explain how these stories came to be. Most of them, of course, were adapted from the main Doctor Who TV universe on the BBC. The way that the movie, Doctor Who and the Daleks, came from the first Terry Nation serial on TV, or the way that Daleks, Invasion Earth, 2150, came from the Dalek Invasion of Earth, or the way that the Yeti Invasion of London came from the Web of Fear, but with plot elements drawn from the Abominable Snowmen. I am, and if you've been listening to this podcast, you know what a sucker I am for inside baseball and explanations of how and why stories got commissioned and edited, so you'll learn that the stories in Escape to Danger come not just from Doctor Who. Peter Cushing's Doctor takes on the Wheel in Space, or the Ambassadors of Death, or the Smugglers, but also from elsewhere. Richard Carpenter, from TV's Robin of Sherwood, wrote one of the radio plays adapted in this collection, The Spirit of Sherwood, which on radio, you'll remember, had a voice role for Jeremy Bullock, best known to Doctor Who fans for playing Hal the Archer in Time Warrior, but here playing John Little, opposite Peter Cushing's Doctor Who. There are 6 short stories in the book, like I've said. I want to talk about 2 of those today for this bonus episode for April 1st. I'm not going to discuss all 6 stories. I want you to have some of the fun for yourself. The first story is Invasion of the Space Wheel, adapted from the radio second series premiere. The radio script was by Jerry Davis, working from David Whittaker's BBC TV scripts from The Wheel in Space. If you read my tweets harshing on Wheel in Space, when my Doctor Who pilgrimage got there in February 2021, you'll know this is not one of my favorite TV stories. I think it's a poorly plotted mess with some awful comedy accents. But on radio, and written for Peter Cushing's Doctor, and of course with Tom, Louise, and Susan, this thing works. Instead of 6 shaggily told episodes with lots of sidesteps and diversions, Patrick Troughton on TV was not in episode 2 and then spent all of episode 3 lying on a gurney, not taking a step on camera until partway through episode 4, and I'm already bored just telling you all that. This novelization works fast and furious, and with real danger too, as Tom and Louise nearly suffocate to death on board the Silver Carrier rocket. Because of the limitations of the radio medium, you could only have 3 or 4 guest actors joining Cushing and his companions. So the TV crew of The Wheel in Space is pared down to 4 for Invasion of the Space Wheel. Jarvis Bennett, the Wheel Commander, and Dr. Gemma Cowlan, based on a similarly named character from the Troughton serial. Dr. Cowlan, by the way, was played on radio by Prunella Scales, later of Fawlty Towers fame. The rest of the crew is reduced to just 2 men, played by Michael Sheard and Andre Moran. Moran, of course, gets to use the same broad, keenly funny, over-the-top French accent that he sported opposite Patrick Troughton on Doctor Who TV's The Moonbase. If I had one complaint about the writing style in the novelization of Invasion of the Space Wheel, it's that I couldn't quite picture Michael Sheard's character in Michael Sheard's voice. That's my only complaint about the writing. As you'd expect from a story edited by Robin Bland, there's a lot of Terrence Dix about the writing style, with adjectives like strange and terrible abounding. Dix himself would later novelize The Wheel in Space for the Target range, but I'd argue that this right here is the better tale. The second story in the collection is Escape to Danger, speaking of Terrence Dix again. This is based on the radio play by Robert Holmes, commissioning himself for the second series, which itself was based on Terry Nation's mission to the unknown. The story has been rewritten for Peter Cushing in the radio universe with a slightly different plot and a slightly different cast. Brett Vion is here, but he's now voiced by Martin Jarvis. Gratifyingly, as edited by Robin Bland, Brett in the novelization looks more like Martin Jarvis with sandy hair rather than Nicholas Courtney. Peter Hawkins is back to play the Dalek voices. The novelization is heavily reminiscent of Terry Nation's favorite Doctor Who tropes, especially the slave laborers working in the mines, a la TV's The Dalek Invasion of Earth, or for us in the Peter Cushing universe, Daleks Invasion Earth 2150, or Nation's later TV Destiny of the Daleks. Peter Cushing's Doctor Who is joined here by Jim Dale as Jim, Doctor Who's nephew, and Valerie Leon's Vanessa, who plays Jim's girlfriend. Danger abounds in the jungle for these two, as the Doctor and Brett try to unravel the strange goings-on in the Terrania mines below the surface. There are other characters in the story, such as space billionaire Jacob Barrymore and the voice of the Robo-Men, but oddly, the radio cast list at the back of this book doesn't mention who played them. Confession? I've never actually heard the second series of Cushing radio plays, so I rely on the novelizations to tell me the story. It really would have helped to have had a complete cast list. But the prose is sparkling, marvelous. You can hear Peter Cushing's slightly absent-minded mischievousness in every word. Check out this excerpt from the second story in Escape to Danger. That's the story, Escape to Danger, on page 67. "I'm glad you've got a good sense of direction, Uncle," Jim muttered as he pushed his way through the jungle. "I can't see a flaming thing." Doctor Who tutted, "You really should see an optician, my boy. I can see fine." A little laugh came from Vanessa. "I bet you've added some kind of invention to your glasses." Doctor Who's laugh confirmed her accusation. "You have caught me out, my dear. There is an infrared function on my glasses, allowing me to see in the dark. It is terribly useful, you know. There are four other stories in the collection. The Robin Hood story, and the novelizations of the Peter Cushing versions of Ambassadors of Death, The Smugglers, and The Daleks Master Plan. The cast lists are marvelous, by the way, with Julian Glover in Ambassadors, and John Ringham, who was in The Smugglers on TV for Doctor Who, playing a different part in the Peter Cushing radio play. Now that is talent, and this is quite a collection. So, in case you hadn't guessed by now, this is an April Fool's Day episode of Doctor Who Literature. There was no Peter Cushing radio series, and there were only two movies, and Robert Holmes wasn't involved in any of it. But the book is real. Obverse Books has done, I think, 8 of these now, novelizing the two movies that we really did get, and then imagining other movies in the series, and then imagining 2 full seasons worth of radio plays. The inventiveness and creativity in these books is remarkable, telling versions of classic Doctor Who stories in a Cushing universe style, with comic bumbling and humor replacing the horror. But because Robert Holmes has been imagined as a creative force in this alternate universe radio series, some actual horror and danger does creep in, which is a nice vibe, but there is, happily, a much, much, much smaller body count than your regular, typical Doctor Who story. These books are all written for charity. Proceeds on this volume going, I believe, to the NHS. Print copies are limited, but the Obverse books that I don't have in print, I get as ebooks, and they are all must-reads. The names of the actual authors of these stories are given thanks on the title page here, and I assume all 4 of those gentlemen had a hand in the manuscript, and they deserve a hand. A big hand. Next time, we resume our look at the Target novelizations, the real ones, with the February 1976 books, and we're going to be joined, coincidentally, by an author from the Obverse Books Black Archive series. You're not going to want to miss that one. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Doctor Who Literature Podcast. I'm Jason, your host and editor and producer. This podcast is brought to you by Anchor and can also be found on Spotify and Google Podcasts. You can find me on Twitter at Doctor Who Novels, that's Dr. Who Novels, the same way that Peter Cushing is Dr. Who in these books. And you can also find me on the Trap One podcast from time to time, including an upcoming episode about Bob Baker. I write about Doctor Who on Twitter using the hashtag Doctor Who Pilgrimage, that's Dr. Who Pilgrimage. Please drop me a line with your comments, questions, and suggestions. Thank you for listening, and whatever you do, keep turning the pages.